It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And I get Thursday morning. Oh, it is a good Thursday morning, everybody. Welcome into Ben and Woods.
Hang on.
You want to do it?
We got to do it.
I guess so. All right. Yeah! That's more than just for last night.
All right, proceed.
That's for a season series win over the Los Angeles Dodgers for your San Diego Padres. First time since
Let's
I was
go,
a...
Padres. Let's show them how it's done.
Almost when that song was new. It's first time since I was a young man of 34 years old. The last time the Padres took a season series from the Dodgers. Paulie, how old were you then?
I was 20 years old.
20 years old. Yeah. Still a student at San Diego State University.
Second year. How about that?
Last time, a 7-3 record against the LA Dodgers with just three games remaining this season. That's called clinching the season series last night. And, of course, we will get into all of it. But I have to tell you, you know, Woodsy's still on vacation, day three. After today, we'll be halfway done with Woods' vacation time, at least show-wise. He'll be back next Wednesday from his Hawaiian trip. Have not heard from him at all. Did he text at all yesterday? He was very active.
He was off the grid yesterday.
He was very active on Tuesday, the day he left, and obviously the incredible comeback win, and we were kind of just normally texting back and forth like we always do. Yesterday, he went kind of off the grid vacation mode silent, which is good.
Which is good. That's how it should be.
He's on vacation. We shouldn't be hearing from him that often. I hope that's a good sign and not a bad sign. It really could go either way. It could be because he's so now relaxed and into full vacation mode, put the phone away for a while. You know, the weather's great. You know, maybe he's got some time away from the kids. I know his in-laws are there. They can watch the kids a little bit. He and Hannah are having some, you know, time together on vacation.
I'm sure.
Or it could be completely different. It could be chaos. The vacation is not going well, and he doesn't even have time to text
Dragging
us.
Dragging two small children on hikes.
Got stung by a man of war or something. I mean, I assume we would have heard about that. That would have been the first thing he texted us. Here a day, I've already been stung by a man of war. I'm in the emergency room here in the islands, but I haven't heard from Woods in a while, so I hope he's doing well.
I agree. I did not hear from him. I think he texted me once yesterday. He texted us a little bit during the show. He was on with us.
Yeah,
and then after that, it was...
But after that, very quiet.
Yeah,
so
as it should be.
Hopefully he's doing well. But as I was saying, a little nervous today. As you might have seen, if you follow us on social media, or if you follow one... Ted Leitner, Uncle Teddy's going to be in studio later this morning.
Or right? If you listen to our show, we've mentioned it like three times.
Yes, we have mentioned it a couple of times. He's going to guest host starting in our 8 o'clock hour. I'm going to be sitting right where Woodsy usually sits. And I am I'm looking forward to having Uncle Teddy in studio. But I'm also, obviously,
you're nervous.
A little nervous about it. You know, he's a Padres Hall of Famer. One of just 17 to be inducted in the 55-year history of the San Diego Padres. So that's a very exclusive San Diego club.
Oh, yeah.
Calling Padres baseball for over 40 years. television legend, you know, in your living rooms every night.
Radio legend.
Calling Aztecs, radio legend.
And done it all.
Honestly, the person who my career has been most closely modeled after, being a local TV sports anchor, having a morning radio program. The only thing I really haven't done, you know, Teddy had all the play-by-play experience as well, and I haven't done that much play-by-play, but I just find it incredible what he's been able to jam in to, obviously, you know, it's San Diego. And, you know, he called the Chargers, he called the Aztecs, he called the Clippers, he called the Padres. I may be missing some things, but he literally has had a finger in every San Diego sports pie for like the last half century. So whether you are a fan of Uncle Teddy or whether you can't stand Uncle Teddy, and I know that there are people who really fall on both sides of that, he is undoubtedly the most significant sportscaster that this city has ever seen.
Oh, without a doubt.
No doubt.
When I moved down here in 2009, I don't want to say I didn't like Ted or his style. It was an acquired taste, though. And once I kind of got it, once it clicked for me, I'm like, he's one of the best I've ever heard. He's so good.
It's not to say
whether it's your Padres, my Padres.
Yeah, and I don't want to, you know,
style
downgrade anyone else. You know, Jerry Coleman's in the Hall of Fame and was amazing calling Padres games. But in terms of the versatility, what Ted can do and the way he could anchor a television sportscast, and they would give him, I'm going to ask him about it a little bit, because he would get more time in one night than I'd probably get in like a week in a normal sportscast. They would just sit him down and go, here's 7 minutes, go. Just, it's yours. And he would, without a prompter, he would sit there and, you know, they'd have him some video clips.
Talk show on the news.
Yeah, and he would just narrate just off the cuff. I'm sure he had some thoughts, but, you know, maybe a note or two. But it just seemingly off the cuff every night, he'd sit down, camera goes on, the light goes on, highlights come up, and just go, Uncle Teddy. And it was absolutely incredible. And then he'd manage this entire schedule, traveling with the Padres and calling games and then getting up in the morning. And I don't know how many years he did that, but he had a morning radio show like we do. It really is a remarkable sportscasting career. And you know, he stayed here in San Diego, grew up in New York, obviously, and then went to Oklahoma State, I think, and then made his way out to San Diego, but then didn't leave. You know, he probably could have gone big time, gone back to New York. But
we've seen it happen a million
times.
Sure,
absolutely. But
people in media, they just use San Diego. It's a stepping stone to Los Angeles or, you know, the next big thing.
Made his just home here, his career here, a life here. And he's as much I consider him as much a native San Diegan as anyone, even though technically, you know, he wasn't born here. I mean, he's pretty San Diego. You know, Ted Leitner,
narrator of San Diego sports.
Exactly. Just of my lifetime. So, looking forward to having Uncle Teddy in here, and it sounds like he's looking forward to coming in. He tweeted about it last night.
San Diego's new Ted Leitner.
I don't remember why you said that a couple of years ago, but I got it.
But a pale imitation. There's nothing like the original. There's the original
San Diego's
Coke.
New Ted Leitner.
At best, I'm the new formula, which is always not quite as good. So, looking forward to that. Otherwise, Paulie, how was your day yesterday?
Day was good. I did not do a whole lot. Just got to relax and Wednesdays are in between Tier 1 basketball on Tuesdays, and then we have Tier 1 baseball. We got nighttime baseball tonight.
Wow.
Up in Escondido. So, yeah, like a 6:30 first pitch under the lights. So I just relaxed, got some laundry done yesterday.
Schedule makers are aggressive with the Tier 1s this week.
We have a game tonight. We have a game on Sunday, and then we have a game next Tuesday, which I will be missing. I have Tier 1 basketball that same night. I can't do both. So yeah, three games.
Can't
in like
do the
four
old
days.
Deion Sanders thing and have
not
like
at the same time
helicopter take you from one event to the other and get out and dramatically arrive at halftime maybe of your basketball game or something.
Escondido to it's Alliant Universities where we play basketball. So like Miramar, you know. It'd be, I could make baseball and then haul ass over to basketball, but no, not going to make that happen.
I had my own competition of sorts yesterday.
I have been waiting.
Not.
Did I ask you once how it went?
You didn't.
I am. I want to hear everything.
It wasn't quite a sporting event. It was the messy Sunday making contest at Sammy's at 7 Mile, which I was entered in yesterday, playing for charity for the Emo Brown Foundation. Chance to win $2,500. And all I had to do was craft my own messy Sunday, Sammy's famous desserts. And if I won, not only would I win $2,500 for the Emo Brown Foundation, but the winning Sunday was going to be put on the menu at Sammy's for the next year. All the Sammy's in San Diego would feature the winning messy Sunday.
So set it up. You were given, was it like?
So I was given a list of ingredients, like what they already have in their kitchen that they have to work with. And then I was allowed to bring a special ingredient as well of my own that could be basically fairly easily acquired. They had to pre-approve it, like something that wasn't on the list. And then add it to it and make it my own Sunday. Make it your own, Paulie.
Okay.
So there were six competitors, various media personalities, couple of radio people from other stations, couple of television people from Spanish language stations, because it was down in Chula Vista, and it was the mayor of Chula Vista was there. By the way, Mayor John, he's a big tier one of the show.
Morning, and, Mayor John.
The assistant mayor, and then Sammy Ledecky was one of the judges, and the Chula Vista Chamber of Commerce. So we're kind of doing a South Bay thing and something good for the community, and they were all playing for different charities. And everyone got their turn, and the first, you'd go up and you would make kind of a presentation and introduce. I had Caesar, our friend, who was representing Emo Brown. He was kind of my sous chef, and he talked about the foundation. And then you start making the sundaes. And the first four competitors went. And
how many did you have to make? Just
one sundae, and then they kind of each kind of passed around, took a bite, and moved on. And it was judged on, taste, presentation, creativity, the name and the story that you kind of put together for it. So first four contestants went, and I felt really confident. I felt like my Sunday, my idea was definitely going to be something that they might want to put on their menu. And none of the first four, no offense to any other competitors, I go, I can't see this going on a restaurant menu. I can't. I just can't. So it came to our turn.
Were they too extra?
Yeah, just too many ingredients, like, pear syrup and coconut and ube and just at marzipan. And I go, okay, I get it. You're things you like and totally, but I just don't know that this is going to be a popular seller. Sammy's putting this on his menu. He doesn't want nobody to order it. So I went with a real crowd pleaser and my idea, because they wanted to kind of tie it into the cross border and cultural heritage. So I went with a Mexican mud pie sundae. So I made kind of the Mexican chocolate sauce with a little bit of the cinnamon to spice it up,
yeah.
Caramel sauce, toffee chips, and then my ingredient, which wasn't on the list that I brought, is Oreo cookies. And I had Caesar smash them all up into crumbles and, put them all in the sundae and smash them on the side, and then almonds for the nut, because those are usually in mud pies, and then whipped cream and like a big Oreo on top for the good presentation. And we did the story. I thought it went really well. Judges seem to really enjoy it, and I'm going, okay, I've got this in the bag. All I have to do is survive the final contestant. And so we move on, and I go, I'm feeling really good about this. And then the last contestant comes on, woman from Channel 12, which, again, Spanish language, and she comes up, and they're playing for the San Ysidro Health Centers, and she's got her rep, and they have, like, a whole, like, speech prepared, written out. I mean, it is, they have taken this very, very seriously. They've practiced like several times their Sunday, had a great name for it, the Berry Messy Sunday, and they went with a slightly healthier
version.
What was
your name?
Mine was the Mexican Mud Pie.
Mexican Mud Pie.
So they go with the Berry Messy Sunday. And so they go with blueberries and strawberries and syrup, and then there's chocolate and whipped cream on top, and they're going, a little healthier, a little change of pace. And I go, okay, I felt really good about it. It's still ice cream. It's not healthy.
Ice cream,
healthy,
chocolate,
but,
and a couple of pieces of fruit.
Yeah, it's just a couple of pieces of fruit, but I could see the judges, and I can see going, oh, this is a little different. I kind of like this idea. And wouldn't you know, I ended up finishing second to the Berry Messy Sunday, and I lost the Messy Sunday making contest.
Number two.
Yeah.
Dang.
I mean, second place is just first loser, so.
Yours sounds really good.
I thought so too.
Will you make Mexican mud pie sundaes for me and Woods on Wednesday?
We should do that. I need to get all the ingredients. It was very messy. By the way, they needed about 5 minutes to clean up the area after we had kind of trashed the whole thing with the messy sundae that we made. But they still 7 Mile still donated $500 to the Emo Brown Foundation, which was really cool. And unfortunately, my menu creation will not be available at Sammy's at 7 Mile for the next year. If you want to get the very messy sundae, though, you'll probably be able to order that one.
Well, that's too bad. I'm glad you got to experience it, though. That sounds fun.
Yeah, it was fun. Oh, you know what?
First type of challenge competition like that for you?
I think I did many years ago with Sammy's as well. I think I did a media pizza making contest. I didn't win that one either.
Okay.
But I
one of these 30 times a charm.
I watched enough food network, those kind of programs that I felt like, oh, this is my chance. I've always wanted to do this. I want to win. Guess it's just not in the cards. But if only one winner could be yesterday, I'd rather it be the San Diego Padres. And they certainly got a good win yesterday. Mm. We will talk about that coming up. The 8-1 win over the Los Angeles Dodgers last night. We've got, other than Ted Leitner, we also have other guests. A good show. We'll set the menu for you when we come back. Getting excited here for a Throwback Thursday. It's Ben and Paul Reindel. As Woodsy continues his vacation, but things going pretty well back here in San Diego. On San Diego's number one sports station, here's Kelly with traffic on 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
If you're joining us on the YouTube stream, some people in the chat are wondering about your background choice today, Paulie.
What background?
I guess you're just going to have to tune into the YouTube stream to find out. Paulie tempting the baseball gods again. Are you not worried that there would be a karmic retribution for your choice?
Wasn't worried last time, not worried this time.
I'm not either. But I'm not superstitious, you know me. Unlike, Woodsy is definitely superstitious.
He would be doing this too.
He would, probably. So join us, please, on the YouTube stream. You can pop us up on your smart television, and you can watch as you're getting ready. I know a lot of Tier 1s obviously listen, in their car, on their way to work or school in the morning. But make sure you join us even earlier on the YouTube stream every single day. Yeah. And if you miss any of it, of course, you can go back later and watch the whole thing on YouTube or catch us on the Odyssey app, or we podcast as well on all the various podcast platforms. And we got a really good show planned for you today. In addition to Uncle Teddy, Padres Hall of Famer Ted Leitner, who's going to be in studio starting in our 8 o'clock hour. Obviously, coming up, we've got our Padres wrap-up, and we will discuss last night's 8-1 win over Clayton Kershaw and the Los Angeles Dodgers. Dylan Cease following up his no-hitter with another solid performance on the mound as the Padres win for the 9th time in 10 games since the, and the 9th time in 11 games since the All-Star break, and 9th out of their last 10 to remain in the wild card picture in what has been a pretty busy National League since the All-Star break and since the trade deadline now, with a lot of teams playing well. So we'll get into the game coming up in our next segment. Then at 7 o'clock, we'll play Real or Fake on a Throwback Thursday. Last chance this week. I know it's August. I think we're wrapping up our July qualifications for the trip to Las Vegas, the two nights at the Rio, and the dinner for two in the daybed. So a chance to get in. No musical knowledge required today. It's just Real or Fake coming up at 7 o'clock. Then 7:20, we'll get into Don't Do This. 7:35, after we gave him the day off yesterday to celebrate his birthday, we will have a postponed Adam Jones with us. And Adam can give us his thoughts on what happened to the trade deadline. Obviously, he's been here following the Orioles and what's been going on. They lost Jordan Westberg to a broken hand, I think. He got hit, injured, which is a tough one for them. We just saw the Orioles last week when they took on the Padres. So, but they made some moves at the break as well. He'll have some thoughts on the Padres coming up at 7:35. Again, Uncle Teddy in our 8 o'clock hour, looking forward to that. And then 9 o'clock hour at 9:35, Eno Saris is going to join us a little later than usual, but we wanted to make sure we caught up with Eno. And I am curious what Eno has to say. He's got all the stuff plus numbers, and I really want him to do kind of a deep dive on the revamped Padres bullpen and what it looks like now after the additions. I mean, we'll get into it here, but it now looks really, really deep. I mean, when you have Alec Jacob coming in last night, striking out the side in the seventh inning, and Alec Jacob's been really good since they brought him back up. In fact, he's been good every time they've brought him to the big leagues, the two times he's been up there. And I kind of went through it, and legitimately, he's probably the number seven option for Mike Schild out of the Padres bullpen right now.
Yeah, that's when you put him in, is a 7-1 game.
Yes, he's like a mop-up man, and he's coming in and striking out three Dodgers in a row, making pitching ninja for how, you know, nasty and how much ride his pitches have. And you're going, this is the guy you put in when the game's already out of hand. And you've got at least six guys who you think are better and nastier than this guy in your bullpen right now. Okay, now I can sort of see A.J. Preller's plan from the trade deadline coming together a little bit. Because that is a team you do not look forward to facing when you go up against the San Diego Padres. And I want to talk to Eno about that, the bullpen moves, and how much of an impact he thinks it can have on the Padres over these final 2 months of the season.
Yeah, we talked to A.J. Preller yesterday in our 8 o'clock hour, and he pretty much was alluding to, like, this is what teams with serious playoff hopes do. You bolster your bullpen. It comes down to the bullpen. And that was those were moves that, yes, they're going to help you in August and September as you push for the playoffs, but they're really the moves were designed for October.
It's what the Phillies did, adding Carlos Estevez. It's what they've done in recent seasons when they've made their runs to the World Series and to the National League Championship Series, with both acquisitions and young guys, you know, from Alvarado to Sir Anthony Dominguez, who they've traded, but now they've got Estevez, Orion Kirkering, the young guy they brought up last year that helped him in the pen. Now they've got Strom, who's an all-star that they bolstered, they picked him up from the Red Sox before last season. That's a team that thinks they can win a World Series. And when you think you can win, you really want to get that bullpen charged up as much as possible ahead of a possible postseason run. The great thing for the Phillies, though, they know they're going to the playoffs. So they can plan for their bullpen, and they can start even thinking about, you know, how we're going to use these guys. Rob Thompson can kind of get guys in their lane for what he's going to be doing in October, because they're so far ahead. And they're not really being challenged. They haven't even played well. I think I saw yesterday the Phillies have the second worst record since the All-Star break, other than the Chicago White Sox. And they're still not in any danger of really losing that division or missing the playoffs. The Padres are in a completely different boat. They also have a team that looks like could be a real threat in October. But they also have a team that might not get to October because of the lack of pitching depth. And we'll talk about it coming up, because this series against the Colorado Rockies, They announced the starting pitching probables last night after Mike Schilt had already done his postgame news conference. They came out and said, all right, here's what we've got. And if you missed it, Randy Vasquez is going to pitch tomorrow. Martin Perez due on Saturday. And they threw out the old TBA on Sunday, not Michael King. So that's a problematic spot to be when you're in a tight playoff race and you're three starters for a series that you really kind of have to sweep. I mean, I'll take two out of three, but really anything less than a sweep's a tiny bit disappointing against a last place team. Now, I know they swept the Padres the last time. So you say that and you go, don't get ahead of yourself. Well, this is the time you need to beat up on these teams. And you're pitching Vasquez, who got lit up his last time out, Perez, who's had like two good starts all season and you just acquired him, and then you don't even know, is it a bullpen day? Is it Michael King? What's going on there? That's a chance for you to really stub your toe and miss a great opportunity this weekend if you don't get decent pitching. Now, you still got that bullpen. You can be aggressive maybe, but if you fall behind, you know, 5-1 in the first few innings, it's tough. You can't always come back from those deficits. Right. So we'll talk about that coming up on the show today. And again, Eno Saris will wrap things up for us coming up at 9:35 this morning with more on the new Padres bullpen and pitching staff. But now, up next, we will get into last night's game. Another fun one at Petco Park. Another giant crowd to see the Padres do something they have not done in 14 years. And that is clinch a season series win over the Los Angeles Dodgers. All of Jesse's highlights coming up next with Ben and Paul Reindel on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. So there was another sellout crowd last night at Petco Park, and they had the numbers, Paulie. You have the two-game series, a new record for a Padres two-game series, 94,000.
Good God.
556 fans.
94,000?
For two games, which broke the previous two-game record, which was the Mariners two-game series from last month. That was not as fun of a two-game series when the Padres got swept by the Mariners. But that was like 82,000. They shattered the two-game series record. And I was wondering why.
I'm guessing they'll break the records again later on this year. Like, when, you know, the context has to be they expanded Gallagher Square. They can sell more
tickets.
Well,
yeah, that's definitely why they've been breaking single-game attendance records. With the new Gallagher Square, they can get more standing-room-only tickets in there. So they have more people in the ballpark. But I was going, well, what's the difference in a two-game series? And I think, well, there's never a two-game series on Saturday and Sunday. It's always either a 3 or a 4 Friday to Sunday or Thursday to Sunday or Friday to Monday. Mm-hmm. But you never, other than really like weird circumstance, a rain out or something, you never have a weekend series. So a two-game series is inherently always Tuesday, Wednesday, or Wednesday, Thursday, midweek, which tends to be smaller crowds for midweek games, which is why the record was a little bit lower. It was only 82,000 or whatever it was. But you get the Dodgers in town, you get the excitement post-trade deadline for this team playing as well as they have. I mean, it just all came together for what other team in baseball can draw that kind of capacity crowd for two midweek games? It's pretty awesome, Padres fans. You are great. My wife went to the game last night with some friends, and she said, really one of the more fun games. I mean, it wasn't as amazing as
they
Tuesdays.
Said yesterday,
but,
yeah, they said yesterday was like 1,000 people less or something. But, and I'm like, still, this is insane on a Wednesday night.
But because they kind of went ahead early, you didn't have the 8 innings of your like stomach churning like you did on Tuesday. Right. It was just kind of a fun, easy atmosphere. You know, Padres are up. Never were really threatened in the game.
Oh.
It was just a nice night for everybody
Dylan
at Petco Park.
Dylan sees the 7-run lead.
Yeah.
Give me that all day.
You're doing it to Clayton Kershaw. Let's hear how it happened. Get to our Padres wrap-up with Jesse Agler right after this check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan.
I love winning, man. I love winning. You hear what I'm saying? It's like better than losing.
Oh, my God. I'm so stiff.
Miss any of the Padres win yesterday? Ben and Woods didn't.
What up, crew?
We've got you covered with all of the highlights.
I like it when the Padres win.
Yeah! Yeah! Yeah!
It's the Padres Wrap-Up, presented by Hamul Casino. With thrilling slots and tables and all the best rewards, Hamul Casino has all the fun you're looking for. Hamul Casino, fun above all else.
Yeah!
Give me a do damage.
Do damage!
Is it extra sweet because this is against the Dodgers?
Runners lead at first and second. 3-2. Merrill runs. Campusano lines it into center field. Base hit. Jackson's going to score easily. Him wheeling around to third base. RBI single, Luis Campusano, and a 1-0 Padre lead. Kershaw comes set, he'll deliver. Johnson squares the bunt, pushes it back towards the mound. Bobbled by Kershaw, and a suicide squeeze gonna work. Kim comes in to score. Might have been a safety squeeze, it was some kind of squeeze, but Kershaw coming in had a pretty good opportunity to make a play at the plate. He bobbled it, unable to pick it up. And the Padres lead it 2-0. And the infield in. Pitch here, grounded slowly towards first base. It will roll right to the bag. Biggio touches first for the out, but Campusano comes in to score, and the Padre lead is 3-0. 3-2, golfed into right center field. That's down, and a line drive base hit for Profar. Bryce Johnson comes in to score. 4-0 San Diego in the second. 1-1 to Lux. Hit in the air deep down the right field line. Taking aim for the porch. That's a fair ball. Going to one hop up against the wall. Ahmed has scored. Otani's going to be held. And in his second base, an RBI double. Throw gets away on the infield. Manny flips it home. Otani's out. Oh, boy. Little bit of a miscue leads to the final out of the inning. Dave Roberts will wait and see if he wants to challenge this play at the plate. But as the throw kind of got loose on the infield, Otani decided to try and score. Manny had the whole thing in front of him, went to get it, flipped it home. And from here, it looked like they easily tagged Otani out. Here's the 2-1, swung on, hit in the air, deep to left field. Teoscar Hernandez back towards the corner, looking up, going to go! First balcony Western medal. And Luis Campusano, who had an RBI single in the second, adds a home run here in the fourth. 1-2 pitch, muscled into right field. That's a line drive and a base hit. Johnson rounding third on his way. He's going to score. Arise into third base. RBI single, Jurickson Profar. And a 6-1 Padre lead in the fourth inning. Just kind of a half swing fly ball into center field. That should be deep enough. Catch made by Páez. Arise is tagging on his way. He will score. Sacrifice fly, Xander Bogaerts. Padre lead is 7-1 here in the fourth inning. 1-2 again. And Merrill swings. Hits it in the air to deep right. Hayward is back. This one is off the top of the wall. Might have hit a fan. They're going to say it's in play. Bogaerts comes in to score. Merrill ends up at second. And now we wait and see. 1-0 pitch. Fiducia swings. Hits it in the air to right center field. Merrill is on his way. He will get there to make the catch. And the ball game is over. The Padres sweep the Dodgers with an 8-1 win here tonight. They are 7-3 against LA, and they have won the season series from the Dodgers for the first time since 2010.
Guys played well both games. Dylan was good. Good like to his fastball. Slider was good. Was able to execute when he needed to. Did a nice job of getting into the six for us. Another quality job by Dylan.
Padres now a season high 8 games above 500 after they sweep the Dodgers with an 8-1 win yesterday and did it against Clayton Kershaw, who's mostly owned the Padres in his career, as he has done most teams, because he's going to be a future Hall of Famer. But he's not Clayton Kershaw anymore, making his second start of the season. I thought maybe after the first inning, I'd go, oh, okay, he's hitting some corners. Maybe he's got a little gas left in the tank. But when Clayton Kershaw is not getting swing and miss, and his slider not as sharp, still has, you know, decent curveball and some decent control, but he's just not as devastating as he was. And the Padres were able to make consistent contact, put together that nice rally there in the second inning to score 4 runs. And ultimately, they knocked Clayton Kershaw out in the fourth inning. 3 2/3, 6 hits, 7 runs. Just 3 of them earned, mostly because of his own error on the bunt by Bryce Johnson there in the second inning. But it ended up being his first career start. And he's made 424 of them in his career. His first career start without at least 1 strikeout.
God.
Which is got to be concerning for the Dodgers, that Clayton Kershaw is not going to be the answer. They've got Tyler Glass now. He's remarkably stayed healthy, and I'll give him credit. You know, they've managed him. They shut him down for a little while with a injury to try to save some innings, maybe smartly to do so, but you've got to still be worried based on his history. Is he going to be available for
how old is Kershaw?
End of the year in the playoffs? 36. Kershaw is, what, 36? Yeah.
Yeah, he looked old yesterday.
Yeah, he did.
He looked old, and I've always respected Clayton Kershaw, the pitcher. He's a first ballot Hall of Famer, pretty much for certain, I would say. But he's just at the end, and he could not get anything going yesterday against this Padres lineup, whereas Dylan Cease, three hits all night long for the Dodgers. But I was watching the game. It was like the second inning. Kershaw was soaked in sweat. I could see his entire back was like sweating through that paper-thin new uniform that they all have to wear. And I'm like, he doesn't look great. He looks old.
It wasn't the big boppers that were necessarily doing it. The Padres got two hits from Campusano, including the home run. Yeah. They got two hits from Bryce Johnson. By the way, his first career two-hit game ever. good for Bryce Johnson. Also had the bunt that he got on as well.
Blesses everybody, even Bryce Johnson.
You know, when the Padres are at their best, they're getting production up and down the lineup, and it was a very balanced attack yesterday, leading to the eight runs. Obviously Dylan Cease had another. We're so spoiled after the last three starts that 5 2/3, three hits and one run and six strikeouts feels like ho-hum, whatever. I mean, two of the hits were infield singles out of the three. And then the other hit, which was the Lux double into the corner, actually was a pretty pivotal play in the game. Remember, you heard it, Jesse call it, after the Padres had scored four in the bottom of the second inning. Dodgers had their one rally. They had two guys on. Lux hits the double, scores one. Otani rounds third, and the throw from Bryce Johnson gets away. And Manny Machado does what Derek Jeter did against the Oakland A's?
Yeah.
Way back in the playoffs in 2000, I think it was, where he kind of intercepts the throw in the infield and makes the little flip home to get Shohei Ohtani. And while Jeter's obviously came at a huge moment in the postseason and was almost acrobatic because he was like there out of nowhere, in some ways I thought Manny's is even more impressive because he had to sprint. He had to sprint to follow it and like chase Ohtani down to grab it and then get the throw just ahead of Shohei Ohtani. Just another example of why Manny Machado is such a great baseball player, such great instinct, such great understanding.
Yeah, they're both great players. Yeah. I don't think they need to be compared. No. I mean, Jeter ran from third base to the first base line.
Yeah.
And it was one of the most incredible plays I've ever seen back in 2000.
Both were terrific.
That was. But it was the first play I thought of when I was watching the game yesterday and saw Manny. I'm like, oh, little Derek Jeter action there. But just the heads up and the awareness by Manny Machado there at third base, that's something that I feel like we still take for granted how good of a third baseman Manny Machado is. Just it blows my mind every single day that he is anchoring that position for us, for this franchise. He's so, so good at third.
He had quite the two games the last couple of days.
Just locked in, man.
With the two home runs, with the great catches in the first game, with that play last night. And then, you know, that pretty much gave Dylan Cease the only help he needed. He did lose his hitless streak at 15 innings. I didn't realize he had gotten up to 15 straight innings without allowing a hit before the infield single by Hayward. Xander almost could have made that play, but that it was going to end at some point. It did. 24 straight scoreless inning streak came to an end with that run in the third. But ultimately, you know, 5 2/3, and you know the Dodgers are still going to work some counts, and they drove the pitch count up a little bit. You knew Mike Schilt's got plenty of bullpen now. No reason to make. I think he went over 100 pitches. No reason to push Dylan Cease after he went with a no-hitter his last time out. You want to save some of those bullets for later in the season. So I was fine with Schilt taking him out there in the sixth. And then the bullpen was terrific as well. The new-look Padres bullpen started with Morejon just getting the one out, and then we saw Alec Jacob striking out the side. Saw the debut of Jason Adam, got a couple of fly balls, took only six pitches to get through his inning, and the debut of Brian Hoeing, who needed only eight pitches to get through the ninth inning in his Padres debut. We still haven't seen Tanner Scott, who was available, and will probably make his debut, I would assume, on Friday when the Colorado Rockies come to town. But that new-look bullpen is certainly a weapon that Mike Schilt has now at his disposal going toward the rest of the season. And if last night was a preview, liked what I saw last night from the Padres pen.
And, you know, we talked about what a two-game series for Manny Machado. We haven't even mentioned his name yet, but how about the rookie?
Hi, this is Jackson Merrill.
I mean, amazing game on Tuesday night. The guy was almost had a home run again yesterday. Not fazed whatsoever by this Dodgers team, Dodgers pitching, the moments, whatever. He has been so impressive lately. He had like that insane month of June, and we didn't say we were concerned, but the power numbers obviously were going to dip down from an insane month like that. But he has been so locked in both defensively and at the plate, and he's just an absolute thrill to watch every single night at 21 years old.
Like Tatis, he's been a Dodger killer here in his first season.
I love it.
He's come up, I think his weighted runs created against the Dodgers is like 170-something. His average is like 380 or 390 against the Dodgers so far in his rookie season. 2-for-4 yesterday, and as you said, nearly had that home run in the seventh inning. Nice try by the fans out there on the in that what is the
right field.
Used to be the Whiskey Deck, now it's the Chrome Tour, right? It's the Callaway Chrome
Templeton
Tour
Ride Deck.
Yeah,
or
now
something.
It's the Callaway Chrome Tour deck out there, I think. But they were trying to signal, oh yeah, home run, it got over, so it touched someone. Didn't it did go up right against the corner of the wall. I mean, could have bounced either way, gone over, it came back. It wasn't a home run. The umpires did make the right call, but everyone there, once they started kind of, you know, doing their fingers in the home run motion, I go, oh, they must have seen it go over. It must have hit a fan or something beyond the wall and came back onto the field. No, it didn't. No one touched it. That was just a double off the top of the wall. But hey, you gotta try when you're the fans out there. Sell it for the, you know, try to make the call difficult for the umpire. Still, Jackson Merrill with the home run on Tuesday and a near home run. That power stroke is still in there. You know, it pops up when you least expect it. But, you know, continuing to hit 286. 452 slugging, and remains squarely in the conversation for National League Rookie of the Year. We'll probably have that conversation at the end of the season after all the numbers are in and we see what Paul Skeens ends up doing, whether they, you know, they stay in the pennant race and he pitches all the way through or they end up shutting him down will probably be pretty important. He's kind of got the hype advantage over Jackson Merrill, yeah. But I will always give the edge to a position player.
The guy that plays every single day.
Who's playing every single day at a high level. No matter what Paul Skeens is doing that's historic, he can only do it every fifth or sixth day for the Pittsburgh Pirates. So
yeah, we're going to go up against the hype train of Paul Skeens that everybody across the country is all aboard. But Jackson Merrill's the rookie of the year. Other rookie has made an impact like he has on a daily basis.
I don't know that he'll win it. I do know that.
And I don't think he cares. He says he doesn't care, and I believe him.
I do know that. Well, I don't know this, but I would imagine that if the Padres offered Jackson Merrill to the Pirates for Paul Skeens straight up, Pirates would do that in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
I think they would.
He could be a center fielder for the next 10 years.
That's why I think Jackson Merrill's the rookie of the year. We'll come back. We got some real or fake next here on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.